Toidu Lashem Kito Kilulam Pasto. Anyway, this is a very interesting veiled reference to Chanukah in the sixth parsha. There are many veiled references to Chanukah, but I thought we'd talk a little bit about Inyan, about Kedushas Yisrael through the parsha, through the prism of Chanukah, and how they intersect. There are two conflicting midrashim that describe a pasuk in Iyov. And through this pasuk in Iyov, there's a contradiction, so to speak, as to what it's referencing. So one medrash discussing in Parashas Vayeshev, at the beginning of Parashas Vayeshev, referencing an action that happened this week's parasha, says Vayeshev Yaakov. So the pasuk in Iyov says, Lo shalvoti, lo shakatati, velo nachti, vayavo roges. That's the whole pasuk. I didn't have shalva. I didn't have tranquility. It wasn't quiet. I didn't have menucha. Vayavo roges. There was an anger, so to speak. So what is that referencing? This is talking about Yaakov, how Yaakov was looking for peace. Lo shavalti, there was no peace, me'esa. Velo shakatati, it wasn't quiet, me'lovin. Velo nachti, and I didn't have menucha. That's referencing Dina. Medina, not Medina, but from Dina. Vayavo roges, ba alai rogs osho Yosef. Came to him the anger of Yosef. So that's one medrash. On the other hand, there's another medrash in Bishalach that contradicts it and takes the same pasuk and says, what is it referencing? Lo Shalvati is referencing that is Bavel, the first gullus of Bavel. Lo Shakatati, that's referencing Mimadai. Velo Nachti, that's referencing the gullus of Yavan. Vayavaroges, that's referring to the piece of Edo. It's referring to Edo. So both the Or Gedal Yahu and I guess the Imre Baruch who piggybacks off the Imre Baruch, I mean the Imre Baruch who piggybacks, they bothered as to what's the deal with this two midrashim. And we're going to zero in on the third one, on the concept of Loi Nachti, where it's either referencing the Galus Yavin or the torture of Dina in this week's parasha where Dina is violated by the people of Shechem. So the Or Gedal Yahu explains that it's not necessarily a contradiction because really it's two branches of one tree. It's really the same thing. The torture and the violation of Dina, it was all bechina of Maisa of a Simon Labanim. It all had the status of an action that happened to the father, and because of that, it's merely a simon that's going to give us the kayach, it's going to give us the strength for generations to be able to overcome certain parts of a tzara. And all of the kayach that's going to happen through the what happened in the Torah story of Dina is going to come out once again in the story of Chanukah. We're going to go through the story, show certain similarities. So after the similarities, we're going to go back to talk about the Torah, the name, the definition of Klal Yisrael, because it all comes out through this. So what's the similarities between the Gullus of Yavin and the Maisa of Dina? It's very interesting, because the Maisa of Dina, most of the times that the anti-Semitism takes place with us, it's always outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's traditionally the way it happened. And they used to torture us for many years in the Gullus. All the Gulluses happened outside of Eretz Yisrael. You know, back in the 40s, everyone says, go back to Palestine, they yelled the Jews. What's unique about the Maisa of Dina is that it's a gullus within Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov returns to Eretz Yisrael after overcoming the gullus of Lavan, and all of a sudden, it's overcome by this terrible, tragic act of Shechem, of violating Dina. It was... He says, Tzaras Dina haya be'ezri Yaakov avinu be'eretz Yisrael. And not like the rest of the Tzaras that was chos la'aretz. And he writes that this is merumas in the drasha of Chazal. Because when Chazal told us that the Medrash of Lo Nachti is referencing the Gullus of Yavin, so too, where was the Gullus of Yavin? The Gullus of Yavin was also in Eretz Yisrael. It was a strange Gullus. You know, the Gullus of Bavel that kicked us out of Eretz Yisrael. The Gullus of Madai that happens in the 7 years between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. The Gullus of Yavin starts and ends while we're in our lands. And it interrupts our menucha. So Yaakov Avinu, who was in Eretz Yisrael, he reaches the point of menucha. All of a sudden, what happens? Once he's in his place where he's with that, all of a sudden, the Tzara of Dina overcomes him. So he says, well, Nachti, similar to comes to the Gullus of Yavin, at that moment it happens that it overcomes him, this idea that that the Yevanim do not want us to be happy in our homeland. And again, you could take this one step forward, in Yad Yoma, that there's a Gullus going on in our homeland. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a Gullus. Gullus is not necessarily a place. Gullus is when there's discomfort within what we're supposed to be doing. So currently in Eretz Yisrael, there's clearly a shmek of the Gullus. It's not Gullus, meaning it's still Eretz Yisrael, don't get me wrong, but it's not a full-fledged geula where we're living in Eretz Yisrael, doing korbanos, etc. Ma'asim b'chol yom, unfortunately, tragedy after tragedy, that's all part of the Gullus. So that's one similarity between the two actions that the Or Gedalia points out. He has three of them. The second one is the following, that the nature of the Gzeira was an attack on, what was it on? It was on the attack on Kedushas Yisrael. Clearly, with the action of Dina, it was an attack on her Kedusha. That Dina represents the first daughter of Yisrael. And we don't, you know, there were other daughters, we assume, the people, you know, of the twin, of the Shiftei. We don't know who these women are, who they married, except for Tamar. But the first daughter mentioned in the entire progression of children, the only one that is actually mentioned is that of Dina. And Dina represents that, and all of a sudden she's violated. Because what did the Goyim want to do? They wanted to take away our Kedusha. Speak about that moment. Well, actually, let's develop this idea in Dina. Is that what was the. Well, let's move on to Chanukah. But Chanukah is very clear as well. What did the Goyim want to do? What was their whole goal? Their whole goal was not to destroy us. It wasn't like Purim where they wanted to kill us. But they wanted to. They defiled the Beis HaMikdash. They defiled us. They told us we can't do all of that which makes us Kaddish. Namely, they took away Kedushas Zman of Rosh Chodesh. They took away our ability to learn Torah. And they took away, of course, the Mila, which is critical. Why did they take away the Mila? Because you're not Kaddish. You're no different than us. The Yevanim were all about the guf. They were all about the body. They were not about the spiritual component. And they said, what's the difference? You're going to do something to your guf that's going to make you different than us? You're no different than us. They took away the distinction, that which separates us, the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, in particular in the Mila. So what was the antidote? Do the brothers recognize this? Go back to the story of Shechem. What did the brothers do when it came time for Shechem? And they said, dude, the whole country's got to get a Mila. So they're thrilled. Why? Because what made us unique? What made Klal Yisrael, the Shiftei Klal, unique? The concept of Yisrael. What made them unique? They all had Milas. Mila was already given. It's the only mitzvah that was given at that point. Gita Noshet had just started, right? Purvu, you could say that goes to all the world. But Mila was the mitzvah that made us unique at that particular juncture. So they come and they say, listen, everybody get Mila. So all of a sudden the people of Shechem are thrilled. Why are they thrilled? Because now that distinction, that mechitza, the borders, the boundaries that was struck between Klal Yisrael and the nations of the world, those boundaries were broken, and now they were all the same. The Havdalah that made us different, the Yisrael Amim, was totally broken down. And therefore this Kedusha of the Maisa Mila was now something that Klal Yisrael no longer had a unique element to, and they were like everybody else. So you see once again that parallel between Klal Yisrael at the time of Shechem and Dina, and very similar to that of Chanukah, the story of Chanukah. And finally, what happens afterwards? What's the postscript to the story? And this is really Nogei Lamaisa, right, to all of us, because this continues. But if you see right away in Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Aleph, what is Yaakov commanded to do right after this whole story? Vayomer Elokim al Yaakov, kum ale beis kel v'shev sham v'asa sham mizbeach. Make a mizbeach la kel hanir elecha. And what did he tell? Vayomer Yaakov al beiso. Yaakov tells the people of his house, v'al kol shemo, hisru es elokeinicha, get rid of all the avodah zaras. What are these avodah zaras? What, Yaakov's children worship avodah zaras? So the Ramban says right there, I think it's the Ramban, yeah. The Ramban says the Avodah Zarahs that were mevutal by the people of Shechem, but nevertheless they still had a toar of Avodah Zarah. It still smelled like a little bit of Avodah Zarah. Vayomer Yaakov el beiso v'kol hashemo, hisru es elokeinicha asher b'sochem v'itaru v'achlifu simoseichem. Change your garments. It's funny, there's a beautiful Ibn Ezra here that says, just Agav, he says that this is where You see that when you go to shul, you have to dress a different way. You have to have a beged miyuchad for tefillah because they were getting ready for the mizbeach. So he was telling them to change his clothing. So he says, there, when you go, kasher yelech letzpal makom kavul, he has gufo naki malbusha nikim. You have to have clean clothing, etc. So, hey Shem, how are you?
How are you?
Baruch Hashem. So we're just pointing out that there is the third component of the story of Yaakov and Shechem. We have number one. We have the beginning of the story, which is that it's happening on the turf of Eretz Yisrael. Number two is the Tumah. Perfect time for you, Baruch. Is number two is the Tumah that is defiling. They're trying to draw the distinction that there's no longer be a distinction between Kedushas Yisrael and Am Yisrael. And the third distinction, the third idea that's being drawn out, is that post the Tumah that happens to Klal Yisrael at that time, the antidote has to be one of Tahara, which is a creation of Mizbeach, but in the formation of the Mizbeach, it has to be done in a way, B'Kedusha B'Tahara, and not with any B'dievitz. Nothing. You can't have any of that Tumah. Take away all the Avodah Zarah, take away all the Getch, because they have. That wasn't even Avodah Zarah at that point anymore. It doesn't matter. So the Or Gedaliah points to this third. Now we turn back to the story of Hanukkah. The Or Gedaliah points right back. And there is very clear what happened. It's a famous principle. Everybody asks this kash. It's like, you know, there are certain kashas by Hanukkah that everybody asks. The first one is, how come it's 8 days? Okay. You know, which was the real mitzvah? That's another one. But one of the most popular questions is the famous kash of the Pnei Yoshua. What's the famous kash of the Pnei Yoshua? Tumah Hutra B'tzibor. If everything is Tumah and Tameh, you're allowed, Hutra becomes permissible to bring a Korban through Tumah. For example, the famous one is by Korban Pesach. If the majority of the people are Tameh, you can bring a Korban. No problem. But one should be aware, very interesting thing, that Korban is a fundamentally different Korban than a Korban brought by Tahara. For example, there is an Isser to break the bone of the Korban Pesach. That Isser doesn't apply by a Korban Pesach that is brought B'tumah. Because it's a different Chepza of a Korban. So what happens? As soon as the Or Gedaliah points out, yeah, it was Tameh, and they could have brought a B'tumah, but the Or Gedaliah points out something unbelievable. That it was necessary, just like Klal Yisrael at the time of Shechem had that Avodah Zarah, and they could get rid of it. Similarly, and they could have brought a Korban on some level, B'tahara. Similarly, when they reestablished in the Chinuch, in the Chanukah of the Mizbeach, it had to be done in a way that was not B'dievet. It wasn't that second level Korban. It had to be the highest level of Korban. Namely, they had to annihilate all of the Avodah Zarah and look that the Korban could be relit once again, in a way of Kedusha V'Tahara. So you have the third element that's being brought down, that the Hashraz HaShechina had to be done in such a way. So the third element, comparing the story of Shechem and Dina to the story of the Galus of Yavan and the recreation of the Hashraz HaShechina happening in the Beis HaMikdash. Number one, we had the Tumah happening in Eretz Yisrael. Number two, the end of the demarcation between Kedushas Yisrael and the Kedushas Amim. And the third thing is, when we reestablish the Kedusha, it has to be done in a lechatchila total way. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy for us that, and he went away and made this miracle. But if you look through the Pesukim, the Or Gedaliah, who says this in a very subtle way, that this is really the definition of Klal Yisrael. Where's the first time the Shiftei Ka refer to themselves as Yisrael? It's a very, very subtle way. I should actually start. There's a medrash. Take one step back. There's a medrash. Three medrash. Open here. There's a medrash that talks about why is Dina Chas V'Shalom, why this terrible tragedy happened to Dina. So it says, Vayatzav Shem Mizbeach, Vayikra Lo Elokei Yisrael. Right before that, he made a Mizbeach and he called it Elokei Yisrael, the God of Yisrael. That's, of course, Yaakov. So it says, Rish Lakish, Vayikalo Elokei Yisrael, you call yourself Elokei Yisrael? I'm Ata Elokei B'Yodav, Ani Elokei B'Tachtom. You're the God, I'm the God above, and you're the God below. Rahuna B'Shem Rish Lakish, Afilu Chazin HaKnesses, say no notel Yisrael Latzmi. Even a Chazin in the basic Knesses can't make himself such a chashiv officer. Vatayit notel Yisrael Latzmi, you're taking such a Shrara for yourself, for such a chashiv Zach for yourself. Machar Bitcha Yotzei Umisana. Tomorrow the punishment is going to be, that's what it sounds like, I shouldn't say. Right, tomorrow, the tragedy is going to happen to Leah. Hadu d'chsiv, that's what it says next. Vatei segdim. Right? Because he refers to himself as Yisrael. So the Yorgadayo says, no. Yorgadayo says that you can't read this Medrash a little differently. It's not that it's a punishment that because he called himself Elokei Yisrael that these terrible things happen. It's because since he calls himself Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing him the way to become Yisrael. You have to go through this process of shtickl galus, shtickl suffering, and then the purification process. There has to be this kind of purification process. That's what it's called Yisrael. And when does HaKadosh Baruch Hu call him Yisrael for the first time? I mean the last time, like in the with the war with Esav, he's referred to as Yisrael, but that's the Malach. But post this entire story of Shechem, all of a sudden it says once again, "Vayivarach ve'emol olakim Shimcha Yaakov lo yikra Shimcha od Yaakov ki im Yisrael yeshmecha vayikra et Shmo Yisrael." It keeps repeating, meaning he has earned the title of Yisrael because he's gone through this purification process. Similarly, the Shiftei Ka. If you look at the Shiftei Ka, it's remarkable, right? When's the first time the Shiftei Ka refers to themselves as Yisrael? It's so subtle. Only like the Organdayo will point this out. When do they refer to themselves as Yisrael? You know the first time that they call themselves Yisrael? When they're complaining about what happened to Dina. It says, Ubino Yaakov ba min asadik kishama vayis atzvu. They were very sad, ha'anashim. Vayichar lohem, oh, they were very angry. Why? Ki nevala asab Yisrael. Because this is a nevala, you made her into a nevala, you made her into the disgrace. Asab Yisrael. The first time they referred to themselves as Yisrael, as a community, was in the middle of the story of Dina, where Dina was violated. So they recognized that the violation wasn't just a violation on an attack on a person. It was an attack on a nation. It was an attack on the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. That's what they first recognized. So this story of Yaakov, of Shechem trying to violate Dina, was really the first time they try to bring us down. It's a meridik tachad yisuk. You should learn all the tachad yisuk on Tanakh. But whatever, if you can't, you can't. But I have a chavrus every Mosei Shabbos, so we go through one Pachad Yitzchak tonight. We started Chanukah, we started Chesh. So we got about five done. You know. But it's really beautiful. It's marvelous to learn these Pachad Yitzchaks. So he quotes the following about what's Chanukah about. It's about the same concept as what's happening in Yaakov Shechem. It says there's a gra. It's such a pashut gra, but it's so beautiful. The Gra says, we say every single day in Birchas Torah, Asher Baruch Rabbanu Mikol Amim V'Nasam Lanu Es Torasa. So the Gra says, really, these two components are two different aspects of us being a chosen nation. One is Beis Sivan and one is Vav Sivan. Beis Sivan, in the introduction to Talmud Torah, it says, Atan Tiyu Mamlechas Kohanim V'Gai Kadosh. Kadosh Baruch Hu has appointed us to be the chosen nation. We were given the appellation at that moment, Klal Yisrael. On Vav Sivan, he gave us the Torah, which is the Ratzon Hashem, which told us exactly how we're supposed to act. Asher Baruch Rabbanu, we have one. Now, he clears the godless of the Pachad Yitzchak, and if you ever learn, again, I can quote the Pachad Yitzchak all day, he's what I call the Lamdisha Baal Machshava, where he has Tzvei Dinim in the world of Machshava. So the Lamdisha Baal Machshava. So he says, there's Tzvei Dinim when it comes to Yahareg Val Yavu. Right, there's the big three, which is Gilarayas Shvichas Damim and murder, and Gilarayas Shvichas Damim and Avodah Zarah. That's one. But there's another Yareg Val Yavor, which is B'Shas HaShmad, the Gemara Sanhedrin says, right? If it's a time of torture, even on what? Even on shoelaces, you have to be willing, prepared to die. So the Gra says there's a fundamentally different type of Yareg Val Yavor. The Yareg Val Yavor and the big three, that's on the micro level, which is these are the three Averos Chamuros, which you can't violate. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you the Torah, he gave you 613 mitzvahs. These are the three that you can't budge. And that's it. There's nothing to talk about. But the Shas Hashmad is a fundamentally different kind of Yarek Val Yavor. That's an attack on the Tohar Yisrael, on the definition of what a Jew is. If they come to you and says, because you're a Jew, I want you to wear red laces instead of green laces, you have to give it up. Why? Because that's a very attack on the definition of Jew. That's an attack on Beis Sivan. That's not an attack on Vav Sivan. That's an attack on our connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which sets us up as different than everybody else. On the Torah Yisrael. So what was the vision of the Yevanim? What were they attacking? Were they attacking Beis Sivan or were they attacking Vav Sivan? So the Pachad Yitzchak says, no, the Yevanim were dafka attacking Beis Sivan. They were attacking the fact that we were the chosen nation. They wanted to tell us that we were the same as everybody else. What did they do? They took the horn of the keren of the shore, and they said, Ein lecham chelek b'elokei Yisrael. You have no portion in the chelek of the God of Yisrael. That Yisrael piece, they were attacking the fact that we had a special relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I got a beautiful word. I said this since, I think Michal Shalom Zacher, which I heard of Rabbi Yudin Shalom Zacher in the name of his brother and the name of Rabbi Frant. So I think I got the whole train to say B'Shom Mombo. Except who said you have to say B'Shem Mombo? I think it was Yeshua Ben Levi. You ever wonder that, right? It's a funny Zach. People always say, if you ever say anything B'Shem Mombo, you have to maybe Gulol them. You have to say it in the guy's name. But who said that? It's one of the ironic, I think it was Yeshua Ben Levi. We got to bring that one back. Okay. Anyway, so the point is like this: because the keren of the keren of the shore was something dafka. They used to didn't have bottles in those days. They didn't have Playtex. So how did they feed the babies? They used to feed the babies with these horns because it was like a sippy cup, right? It was like a little bit wide on top and thin on the bottom. So dafka in the children, they wanted to attack at the very element of where chinuch was. That no, you're no different than everybody else. Ein lecha chelek b'elokei Yisrael. You have no connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was where they were attacking. They weren't attacking, you know, the adults. They were attacking the children because that's the roots of everything where chinuch is. So this is the idea here of, I believe, this is the connection the Medrash has. The same Medrash says Lo Nachti. Lo Nachti is in reference to, it's in reference to Yaakov's episode with Dina, and it's in reference to the story of Chanukah. They're both an attack on the Kedushas Yisrael. So what is Chanukah then? What is Chanukah? Chanukah is a time in our homes where we're supposed to reconnect to what's special about Yisrael. We're supposed to just, you know, there's again more light, the or, the this, the that. There are 100 messages. The message that comes through Vayishlach and through Chanukah is that the focus has to be on what's Kedushas Yisrael. It's very painful to me sometimes, Chanukah. Why? Because Chanukah is supposed to be like, oh, we're different than everybody else. And it's Dafka Chanukah where there's no Isra Malacha that we're showing that we are very different. There's a certain Kedusha, but it's a Kedusha in a daily basis, in our daily lives. Not like a Shabbos difference. Within our daily lives, there's got to be Kedusha. But what kills me is that very often, what do people do? They just do the same thing as Goyim these days because, oh, there's no Isra Malacha, so therefore I could do whatever I want. And they lose the message of what it's supposed to be. What Chanukah is supposed to be about is using the lights to remind us of the story of what happened with the Yevanim, that the Yevanim wanted to defile us, they wanted to see us the same as everybody else, and yet we showed that we are still different. There's a Kedusha, there's a distinction between us and them. That's what Alanisim is all about. It all spells out in Alanisim. It's the Tmei and Biyad, the Tahorim. You ever wonder, right? Rebbe once said this in the Shmuzes. Why does it say in, you know, Alanisim? So they point out all the miracles that happened, right? So when you're pointing out the miracles, I understand Giborim Biad Chaloshim, I understand Rabim Biad Me'atim, but why does that to say Tmeim Biad Tahorim? Why does that say Zaydim Biad Oskei Sarasecha? My high, what's it doing in Alanisim? Because that's what the focus of the Yontif has to be about. The focus of the Yontif has to be on the Tmeim Biad Tahorim. Yeah, that's not the miracle, but the focus is, because they wanted to take away the Torah, Kadosh, they would have been happy. If we would have said, you know what, when the Yevanim would have came in and said, you know what, we'll be like you, they would have been fine, they would have left us alone. But the most important point of Chanukah was the Tamei and Biyad the Tahara, that we maintain the status of Tahara. This is what the object of a bias is. You know, Chanukah is all about the bias. It's about the ultimate bias. It's about the Beis HaMikdash. The Nefesh HaChaim says, it's got to be our home. Our home has to parallel that of the Beis HaMikdash. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. B'socham, mamish, how could it be? There's only one. Blah, blah, blah. That represents all of our homes. But really, it's a time to pause and reflect. You know, like when the Chanukah lights go out, the women, Dafka, the women, they can't do malacha for a half an hour. right? The women, not the men, because the women are the ones who have to permeate this idea of Kedusha in the home. That is, that we are the ones who are chosen. We have this special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's got to be something in the home. The Chanukah is Dafka. We put it by the mezuzah. You know, we put it on the other side of the mezuzah. But Chanukah is such an obvious Yom Tif, which is a focus on the bias. It's a focus on what... It's a time to re-energize and to refocus what the object of the bias is supposed to be. The bias and the four walls of the bias is supposed to be that of Kedusha V'Tahara. Sometimes we forget. You have a Chanukah. You read the Psukim in Al Anisim. Tmeim Biyad Tahorim. You read the Psukim in Vayishlach. Is this what they want to do to Klal Yisrael? They want to defile us and make us like them? But no, we overcome, and then we go from there, and we go Michael Echal, we go right away to Beisel, and we go, and we bring a carbon, and when we bring the carbon, we defile, and we nullify all of the Avodah Zarah that they wanted to give us. That's the object of this particular lesson. This is really, you know, sometimes we just need to refocus. You know, I'm not a big Balmusser. I don't give Musser. It's not my style. It's not my speed. But it's just, you know, in the Machshava itself, to refocus. And you have to just do a lot of introspection in terms of where you are. And Eretz Yisrael, these things happen. I don't know why anything happens. I'm not one of those people either who says, oh, you know why this is happening and they're breaching the walls because we breach our own walls. But the Nefesh HaChaim writes, that the reason why Nebuchadnezzar had the ability to destroy the Beis HaMikdash was because we were not acting properly, whether it's the Big Three, whether it's in the Shechina, whatever it is. And they, because of that, they had the ability to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So what we have to do whenever we see any of these things happening in Eretz Yisrael, which is the gullus within Eretz Yisrael, we have to once again do introspection in ourselves. And Chanukah is a great time to do it in the home. If we do introspection in our home and try to figure out, you know, what we could do to bring in more Kedusha, what we could do to not separate, but understand the distinction between us and the Goyim, that even though we look the same, but there's a fundamental difference in the way we run a home. You know, it's like funny, they have Thanksgiving, which is a beautiful holiday. And I have nothing against Thanksgiving. I ate a lot of turkey today. But you know, Baruch Hashem. That's why I'm so tired. I think there's like a chemical in turkey, right? You're a doctor, you know these things.
Tryptophan,
is it? And I'm mamish feeling this tryptophan. I'm walking around and I'm exhausted. So I had to have coke. You know, but then they go from Thanksgiving, which is beautiful, to Black Friday. So, you know, Black Friday, which is all about, you know, just copping and grabbing. The whole message of Thanksgiving is lost. But Jews know that. What do we do after Thanksgiving? We bench. You know, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, just these small little things. And if we look at the story of Shechem, we look at the story of Chanukah, we recognize in our own homes that we have to bring in that Kedusha and just continually bring in the Kedusha and re-energize and refocus. And Yitzhak Shem, there'll be no more gullus, whether it's here or in Eretz Yisrael.